Yo, what is up? Welcome to My Maddening Mind. I believe this is the, fifth installment of the show where I talk about anything and everything that is swirling around in my head. And Jesus Christ, we have a lot to talk about. So why don't you go grab a blanket, get some food, something to drink, and get cozy. Because we're going to be here for a minute. And, you know, with all this coronavirus shit going on, lockdown, quarantine, and whatnot, I am doing this 100% solo, fucking dolo. I am not in my studio, and I do not have a co-host. So bear with me. There's going to be some breaks and pauses, but we're going to make it through. I got a lot to talk about, so let's get right into it. So obviously, we got COVID-19 to deal with.
COVID-19.
I sound like such a fucking dweeb when I say that shit. Coronavirus, man, the pandemic. What do I think about it? What are my thoughts on? Well, let me tell you something, man. I am fucking royally pissed the fuck off. You closed my gyms. You terminated my job. I lost my job. I'm broke right now. I'm glad I can still do this shit. I'm thinking about releasing some My Maddening Mind merch. I think that would be fucking dope. You know what I'm saying? It'd be cool as fuck. I don't know. Anyways, I got some statistics here I want to talk about. All right? Here we go. 895,556 currently infected patients are in mild condition, likely to recover. 95% of these motherfuckers are going to be all right. Okay? Now, 5% of the currently infected patients are dealing with a serious or critical case. All right? That's 45,614 people. In comparison to almost 900,000, close to a million, who are going to be all right. What do I think of this? What do I make of this? Well, I'm not going to say we're overreacting. We don't really know what to do. We don't know how to deal with this shit. This is a very fast spreading virus. You got to keep that in mind. It's not the potency of the virus that is worrisome. It's how fucking fast this shit is going around town. Now, here are the numbers for the closed cases. Okay, 330,829 closed cases. Okay, here are the outcomes of those cases. 80% recovered. 80%. 261,424 recovered. 69,405 people died. That's 20%. 20%. All right. 80-20. Yeah, that's kind of scary. However, let's get into this, okay? A lot of those deaths, a lot of them, okay, are people who had underlying diseases. Now, we've already talked about this, right? We've already talked about this. And lately, people have been counting deaths that aren't even associated with corona to the overall death toll of COVID cases. What I mean by that is if you have coronavirus and you happen to die by getting hit by a fucking car, they're going to count it towards a coronavirus death. That's just how they're doing it, okay? Now, there's a lot of, you know, articles about that as well. I'm not going to get into it, but point is, yeah, this shit's fucked up. And it's kind of weird. We've never dealt with something like this as a nation, at least in my lifetime, not to this degree. Anybody remember Ebola? Yeah, that was a few years ago, huh? That was what, 2012, yeah. Ebola was way scarier than this shit. I mean, Ebola was fucked up. That shit burned you from the inside. I think it, what, set your cells on fire, right? From the inside out. That's scary shit. And we had that under control relatively quick. So, well, I mean, I don't know. Is this virus bioengineered? Is this all a form of population control? Is this to mask an economic reset? Listen, man, I don't have the fucking answers. All I know is I want my gym reopened. I want my job back. I want shit to go back to normal. I can't even take a broad to the movies. Times are fucked up. So, yeah. What else is new, man? I mean, shit. I've been doing a lot of things lately. I have been working on Riot 13. You know what I'm saying? If you guys aren't familiar, I have a clothing brand coming out called Riot 13. Riot fucking 13 in that order. And I have hoodies. Hoodies are coming out. They're coming out soon. They're almost done. You know what I'm saying? It's one of the many things I've been working on. And I'm just waiting on a sample order to come in from my manufacturer. And then those will be made public. I have the website. I have the URL. Everything is purchased. Everything is good, safe, secure. We're going to launch ASAP. All right? So look forward to that. And like I said, my Maddening Mind merch might be coming soon. Now listen, this isolation, it's foreign to a lot of people. It's very familiar for me. I've been doing this shit. I've been alienating myself from society for fucking years. You guys got to get with it. It's the wave, I'm telling you. Now I'm losing my fucking mind. As if it wasn't already lost. Anyways, that noise right there is my sink. I'm in my basement. I'm sorry. Okay. Anyways, what have I been doing to occupy my time? Well, I'll tell you one thing. There's no better time to go back and rewatch the classic slasher flicks than right now. I mean, I'm talking, you better go back and start with Halloween 1978. You know what? Let's roll a fucking clip. Let me roll a clip. Hold on a minute.
I met this 6-year-old child with this blank, pale, emotionless face and the blackest eyes, the devil's eyes. I spent 8 years trying to reach him, and then another 7 trying to keep him locked up because I realized that what was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
Purely and simply evil. I mean, come on, dude, Donald Pleasance, really. It doesn't get much better than that, folks. So, you know, start with Halloween 1978, and then from there, it's up to you if you want to move on to the Friday series, the Nightmare series, whatever it may be, Texas Chainsaw. I would at least knock out, you know, Evil Dead. Knock out the 80s flicks until you... Oh, The Thing. John Carpenter's The Thing. Come on now. Knock out that shit. And then move on to, you know, Scream, Jeepers Creepers, that kind of stuff. But, you know, I was actually also rewatching Nightmare on Elm Street last night, and it's mind-blowing how much scarier he was in the original. You know, Nightmare 2, 3, 4, 5, he started to become kind of like a meme. He started to become really humorous and, like, savage and comedic and shit. But goddamn, in the original, his voice, oof, that shit was like, I don't know why they never made his voice sound like that again. After that, it was just like Robert Englund's regular voice. But in the original, welcome to my nightmare. This is God. I deserve a fucking Oscar for that one. Come on now. Listen, I'm bored out of my fucking mind. To be honest, like, this shit is actually unreal, and, you know, all of this isolation really has me questioning people's intentions, it has me questioning the world's intentions, and my own, you know what I'm saying? It's, at this point, all we can really do is communicate with each other, and even that is too much of a chore for most people. It actually blows my mind how irrational motherfuckers are. You know, you could straight up just say, what's up, how you doing? And they are so mentally incapable of even replying to that question. It's quite baffling, to be honest with you. You know, I actually did a live the other day, and I was asking people to come on, and I was asking them to share some stories about what kind of irrationality they've witnessed in interactions with other people, you know. And I guess it's a little bit comforting to know that I'm not the only person who deals with fucking morons, you know what I mean? There's a lot of other people, a lot of other cats that deal with this shit on an everyday basis. But let me just get into something real quick, right? This shit's crazy. One of the most classic cases of a fucking clone. And listen, you know what I'm saying? If you don't know what a clone is, I'm not going to define it here. The real ones know, all right? So I'm talking to this chick. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, all right. And, you know what I'm saying? Communication's tight. Snapping back and forth, texting back and forth. Everything's cool. We hang out. We kick it. You know what I'm saying? We kick it. It's cool. It's dope. I'm saying it was nonstop laughter and smiles. Everything was cool. And the next day was complete 180. I mean, I'm talking, it was like 36 hours at a time before I could get a text back. Hasn't opened my Snapchat for 4 days. She claims to be just too busy. Oh man, you gotta love that one. That's like, that is the golden alibi right there. You can never dispute it. You can never dispute it because, you know, they will fucking lie their ass off until the day they're fucking dead. They genuinely want you to believe that they are so unconditionally fucking busy that they don't have 2 fucking seconds to twiddle their thumbs and send you a text. You know, ironically enough, this is all while they are alive and well. You know, healthy, they're fine, they're doing good. Posting stories, hanging out with friends, etc. So, you already know it's bullshit. You know, she claims she's still interested and blah, 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 blah. Yeah, alright. Yeah, save your breath. You know what I'm saying? Just stop. Yeah, we've all dealt with that kind of shit. But that's the stuff I think that's really driving me crazy around this time. You know what I'm saying? Because like I said, all we really have right now is communication. And, you know, I feel like people this day and age just don't have the ability to even uphold a conversation longer than what? Maybe an hour. It's fascinating. I think it's really a matter of people's attention spans being very short, limited. I think people are just in more of a position to be mindless than they are to be mindful. It's like everybody's desperately trying to run away from an invisible threat. You know what I mean? I actually posted something on my story the other day. Let me read it to you. someone asked me, you know, do you have a girlfriend? And I said, nah, man. I said, you know, everybody just keeps fucking playing games. And then I said, dating in 2020 is hardly feasible. Most times it doesn't even progress past the point of initial contact. People don't have the ability to even uphold communication steadily anymore. It'll take someone 36 hours to reply to your what's up text. They'll tell you they're just too busy, and then everything slowly dissipates. That's usually how that goes. When it does reach the point of kicking it, getting to know each other, etc., that's usually quickly sabotaged by insecurity or the fear of being hurt, which leads to nowhere either way. Everyone's mindlessly running away from an invisible threat. Wild. You know, pretty much what I just said, just in a more poetic manner. You see, here's the thing. It's not even on some chummy shit. It's not even on some fucking scrub shit. I'm not worried about it. But I will tell you this. I'm a rationalist. Listen. We all know that I'm a rationalist. It's black and it's white. There's no gray. I truly believe that. The only time there's gray is when someone fabricates the truth. Okay? When someone's conscious actions do not match their subconscious desire, there's gray. So, shit like this, right? I mean, A to Z, I go through the checklist. Okay, boom, 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 boom. I can't figure it out. I mean, I'm straight Sherlock Holmes in this shit like it's a fucking case. Deducing every little thing. Trying to get the right pieces to the puzzle and form a bigger picture here. And you can't rationalize it. There is no blueprint. There is no algorithm. Everything's just fucked. Yeah. Hey, dude, what? Listen. That's Gen Z for you. It's your fucking fault. It's your motherfucking fault. Oh, you know what's crazy, actually? I wanted to talk about this. I think it's really just a Western thing. Western ideology, Western culture. You don't see this kind of behavior in foreign chicks. You really don't. Like, I'm fucking, like, chicks from Sweden, Switzerland, whatever, Norway. I don't give a fuck. Italy. You know what I mean? Whatever, dude. Asia. People don't front like that. People are straight up. Ooh, Aus. Woo. Aussie women. Just hit different. They just do. Don't argue with me. They do. Period. German chicks, they have small lips. I'm not really about it. That's a generalization, and I'm an asshole. Yes, those are both accurate. Okay. Anyways. You know what, though? Back to coronavirus, because I actually want to talk about this. Is it bioengineered? Am I conspiring? What the fuck's going on here? Well, you got to look at a few variables. One, it came from Wuhan, China. On a global scale, China suffers the most from overpopulation in comparison to every other country. Who does coronavirus mostly affect in the grand scheme of things? Well, people over the age of 65 with underlying diseases. The non-contributors of society, ironically enough, right? The people who don't make money, who don't spend money, the people who actually take money, and I'm talking about pension, social security, etc. The motive seems pretty clear. Kind of reminds me of Thanos from Infinity War. A little bit. Just kind of, you know, not as severe. And not as apparent. You know what else? I'm going to go on record right now. And I'm going to tell you to quit hack squatting with your fucking couch. Quit doing skull crushers with a fucking chair. Okay? A love seat. Whatever the fuck you're doing it with. Please quit it with the band workouts. Okay? Please quit it with... I've been seeing these Gymshark ads. Dumbest shit I've ever seen in my life. And it'll be like, you know, here's your daily workout, your at-home workout. And it'll be some fucking moron going up the stairs, looking for something, and then going back downstairs. And they'll call it the, I forgot something. That's what they'll call it. And they'll say 5 sets of I forgot somethings. Are you serious? Oh my God. I mean, if we, it's really gotten to that point, huh? I feel like that's really the most sad part about all this shit, are these fucking cringe ass trends and these little challenges and all that shit. Not to mention, you got chicks that left you on red 3 years ago, finally hitting you back like, hey, what's up? How you been? Oh my God. Everyone's got way too much time on their hands. You know, with all this extra time, you have a few options here. You know, you can work on yourself. You can build a brand. You can start a business, right? You can make a podcast like I'm doing right now. You can design clothes like I am with Riot 13, you know? You can make a short film. You can start a web series. Whatever the fuck you want to do, right? So if you didn't have the time before, now the world is giving you a little bit of leeway here, right? But this actually leads to a much more important topic that I want to talk about, and that's college, right? And I'll tell you why it's related to the discussion. So, you know, I get a lot of questions. Is college necessary? Blah, blah, blah. What are your thoughts on college? Here's my answer, okay? Unless your desired career absolutely demands a degree, it is a waste of time, it is a waste of money, and it is a waste of energy. Okay, I'll say that one more time. Unless your desired career path completely and entirely unconditionally demands a degree, college is a waste of time, it's a waste of money, and it's a waste of energy. Nowadays, I feel like more people are interested in the societal inclusion aspect of college and the experience of college, right? Partying, fucking chicks, blah, blah, blah. Than they are the actual education. In fact, I would argue that 98% of people in college don't give a fuck about learning. No one is sitting there saying, oh man, I'm so excited to learn something new today. No one's doing that. You know, they feel that it's a necessary step in life towards, you know, reaching their goals. Now, I want to challenge this belief, right? I'm not in college. I went for a little bit. I'm not in college. I have two businesses, a clothing brand, right? Riot 13, that's coming out. I guess my other business would be online coaching. You know, I am an online coach. I have large clientele, pretty successful with it, right? I have this podcast, easily able to be monetized. You know, I can come out with merch for this show. You know, I'm a signed model. I'm a signed voice actor. So these are opportunities that I gave myself. These are means of income that I conjured up from my talents and my skill set. You can do the same, man. You know, you don't fucking need a degree to make money. You don't need a degree to do what you love. There are ways to monetize your hobbies, your passions, and there are ways to make sure that that is sustainable, and there are ways to make sure that that will fund the lifestyle you see happening for yourself. So I just listed a few examples. You know, those are stupid examples, and I'm sure I'll find much better ways to thrive later on in life, but I just wanted to touch on that because it's something that people ask me about a lot. And, you know, if you're out there and you're not in college and you feel like you're less of a human being because of it, one, whoever made you feel that way can go fuck themselves, because I know that's not a result of your own disbelief. And two, you need to just shut up, because you're wrong. You need to shut the fuck up. You need to get up off your ass. You need to apply yourself. And you need to just fucking work on your craft day in and day out. The one percenters in life, and I'm not talking about businessmen or politicians. Let's talk about celebrities, okay? Famous actors, musicians, artists, whatever it may be, right? We were talking about horror films earlier. Well, let's talk about this, okay? One of my favorite films of all time, Evil Dead 2. Who directed Evil Dead 2? Sam Raimi. At the age of 19 years old, he directed the first movie, Evil Dead, right? He dropped out of college, okay? He funded the entire movie himself off of private investors, okay? He knocked on motherfuckers' doors. Showed them a short film. Hey, do you want to invest in this movie? We need a budget. You know, you'll get 30% of the profits. Brilliant. 19 years old. He didn't have the money to hire actors, right? So some of his buddies from college were the actors. One of those buddies being Bruce Campbell, who now is a very renowned actor. Very well known. Starred in a lot of movies. Successful as fuck, right? 19-year-old Sam Raimi, after directing Evil Dead, went on to direct the fucking Spider-Man trilogy. Yes, the OG Spider-Man trilogy. He's a millionaire. He's fucking loaded. You see, Sam Raimi knew that college wasn't going to offer him what he wanted in this lifetime. You know, if he wanted to make it in Hollywood as a big-time director, he needed to go out in the world and fucking direct. He needed to make a film, and he needed to show that film to the right people. And here's the thing. If you know you have the capacity to do big things, you need to apply yourself in those endeavors. It's one thing to have the potential. It's another thing to uphold it, right? Now, 9 times out of 10, someone who is destined for great things, you know, they're easily discouraged. So they settle for plan B and get a regular job, and they don't think twice. It's much easier. But if you're willing to bet on yourself, play to your strengths and never give up, guarantee you you'll get to where you want to be. So I'll leave you with that. All right. Real recognizes real. That's all I'm saying. Good morning. Yeah. You're probably like, why the fuck is he saying good morning? Well, listen, dude, I passed the fuck out. Okay. So literally after I recorded the college bit, I just slumped. You know what I'm saying? But I just woke up and I actually have some exciting news. So check this shit out. I just got off the phone with my graphic designer. Okay. For Riot 13, yeah. And I'm about to be on the phone with my other designer who's going to help me out with my Maddening Mind merch. That's going to be fucking sick. So a lot of new shit coming your way for Riot 13. If you're looking forward to that, if you're not, go fuck yourself. Anyways, yeah, nostalgia is a bitch though. You know, I actually want to get into this. Nostalgia is a fucking bitch. Being reminded of the past, something that you love, something that you cherish, something that you want to still be alive, right? To be reminded of its death, of its expiration, right? It's deceased. It's gone. It's in the past. It's dead. It's gone. You know, you're chasing ghosts at that point. You ever just like revisit an old show that you used to watch all the time? Or maybe like you stop into, you know, a restaurant you used to eat at with your first love or whatever it may be. You know, or you you put a hoodie on that you used to wear when you were 17 or whatever, right? You know, my buddy Seb actually said something to me the other day. He said, I'm a slave to nostalgia. And my buddy Seth says I'm addicted to misery. It's crazy. And so I try to relish in the past a lot. You know, I really do. Because for me, I think I'm so uninterested in the present. And I think I'm so, and I know that's a problem. Yeah, it's a problem. Look, I'm fucked up. I admit it. I'm so uninterested in the present, and I'm so not excited about the future, right? A lot of shit's happened, man. A lot of shit's happened, right? But, you know, last night I was trying to revisit a show that I used to watch, and this is a show that I was watching coincidentally at the time that I was going through a really bad heartbreak. You know what I'm saying? This was throughout the recovery process of losing my first love. We were together for 4 years. We grew up together. You know, went through high school together, graduated together, ascended into adulthood together. And so this show, you know what I'm saying? I would watch it. You know, I'd binge watch it. And you know, I didn't really think much of it at the time. You know what I mean? But after kind of going through the storm and trying to revisit this show, the soundtrack, the imagery, just like, it just put me right back in that fucking boat. Just put me, brought me right back to that position that I was in mentally when I was going through these things. And it kind of begs a few questions, right? And I try to debate with this often. And I kind of want to get into this right now because this is cool. This is important. Nostalgia. Well, what even is nostalgia? You know what I mean? You know what? I'm just going to give it to you straight. Nostalgia is defined as a sentimental longing or wistful affection for the past, typically for a period or place with happy personal associations. You know, I mean, they dragged it on a little bit. I would just say nostalgia is missing something that used to make you happy. We'll just simplify it. Relishing in the past, relishing in memories, fond memories, you know, could be about anything. But it begs a few questions. I've always debated whether or not fate is real. Do I buy into it? Do I buy into this whole philosophy of destiny and, you know, everything happens for a reason? Now, I do not think everything happens for a reason. I'm firmly against that. I don't believe that at all. I believe you can find a reason within everything that happens if you look hard enough, sure. But, you know, do I think there was a very specific reason that would benefit me in the long run? As to why there was a brain tumor in my fucking head? No. Do I think my first true heartbreak was a necessary down payment to present me with someone more worthy of my love later in life? No. No. I don't think the universe is listening to my vibrations and my vibes and my energy. And I do not think that it is rewarding me with some sort of diversion to get me off my current path and onto a better one. No. No, 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 no. If anything, I'm fucking cursed. Okay. But I'm a rationalist, so let's rationalize this, right? When you get nostalgic, I see it as a reminder. I see it as a reminder of perhaps maybe you're heading in the wrong direction, at least to a certain extent. You know, if you're nostalgic about something to the point where it's overwhelming, it's literally suffocating you. You know, I've checked myself a few times where I'm looking in the mirror and I'm kind of like, you know what, man? Is this growth? Is this what I want? Or am I just getting way too far away from who I was? And perhaps who I was is my true fate. Perhaps who I was is my true unconditional self. And maybe all of this suffocation, all of these overwhelming emotions of the past, are simply just red flags telling me that I need to get back to the basics. Or is it the opposite? Is it just reinforcing the fact that I need to change and that I need to grow? It's a hard debate. You know what I mean? It's a civil war in your fucking head. Okay? It's a hard battle to fight. And if you're out there and you can relate to this, you know, I want you to really introspect things. And I want you to try to get the answers to the questions you deserve. Okay, don't buy into the bullshit people around you tell you. I want you to truly go deep inside yourself, and I want you to decide what's best. A lot of times I want to return to my old ways. You know, a lot of times I want to return to that go-lucky kid that I used to be, that never had any worries. People time and time again will tell you that you can't be scared of change, and you need to grow, and you need to, you know, expand your arsenal and invest in different things and blah, 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 and pick up new hobbies and meet new people. And I want to know where that prescription comes from. What does that idea derive from? Uncertainty? The unknown? The people who say that, how confident are you in that prescription? And do you think that is the absolute path to serenity? So, it begs a few questions. And, you know, I'm glad I got to talk about it because it's something that I have to deal with on a daily basis. It's almost like PTSD in a sense, right? Hold on, I'm thirsty as fuck. God damn it. So, am I chasing ghosts? I don't know. I think we all are. But what I want to leave you with before this podcast ends is, are those ghosts waiting for you to run them down? I don't know how to fucking word it. Listen, I'm gonna put it this way. Is destiny working in your favor? Is it making you question things purposefully? Or is your true destiny to not adhere to those confrontations, but to revert back to the basics, to take it back to the drawing board and disregard everything you think you know? Is that really where destiny wants to provoke you? Because keep in mind that everything I'm stating right now was provoked by the topic of destiny. It was provoked by challenging the thought of fate. Does fate put you where you want and need to be in life? Or does life in general push and pull you in different directions, which then makes you challenge your own fate and the very concept of destiny? Is that a result of fate? Is that what was meant for you all along? Or are you simply a rationalist like me who understands that everything I just said and everything I do is a product of my freedom to choose? Well, some people would actually argue that your freedom to choose is also a product of destiny. So, you see, it gets a little complicated. It gets a little convoluted. Listen, I'm not going to lie. So, am I addicted to the boat of misery? Does it keep calling my name? Am I a slave to nostalgia? Well, I would just say I'm a dude who doesn't take anyone else's advice, and I'm trying to figure out the rest. Okay? I think that's an accurate assessment. I don't think anyone has the answers. I think everyone's got it twisted. If I'm scared of change, I think everyone else is terrified of sincerity. I think everyone else is terrified of the truth. And I think their little agenda to change is simply their way of diverting even further and faster away from the truth. Because they just don't want to look at it. Think about that one. Mind blown. The greater question is, who even is your unconditional self? And does your unconditional self die when questions begin? When questions emerge? When you actually start to speculate and draw skepticisms on who and what you are? Now you're muddying the waters, right? You're fabricating your behavior to fit a false idea of what you are and not absolutely who you are. So, Taoism talks about this a lot. If you haven't looked into Taoism, I suggest reading Tao Te Ching by Lao Tzu. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. Highly suggest it. Check that shit out. But listen, it's been my maddening mind, man. This was a short and sweet episode. We're going on, what, the 31-minute mark here. And, you know what I'm saying? I just wanted to tune in. I wanted to give you guys another episode. Lockdown is fucking boring. I hope I can make your day a little bit better. So here's what I'm going to do for you because I want to help you out. I don't want you to be fucking bored. I want you to have a good time. I'm going to go ahead and give you five fucking movies I want you to watch. And if you don't watch these, I swear to fucking God, I'm coming to your house and I'm beating the shit out of you. Now, we already talked about Halloween 1978. We talked about the 80s slasher. So let's get off that, okay? Let's talk about some cult fucking classics, all right? Here's another John Carpenter flick for you. I want you to watch Escape from New York. Watch Escape from New York, okay? You can find all these movies on putlockers.cm. PUTLOCKERS.cm. All right? It's a little buggy, but if you just keep pressing search and shit and exit out of the tab, it opens. You're good. Whatever. Okay? You get it. You know the vibes. Escape from New York. And then I want you to go on to The Warriors. Okay? Another cult classic film. All right? You know what? Fuck it. We'll do another Carpenter film while we're at it because he's that good. Watch Big Trouble in Little China. Also starring Kurt Russell. They're both brilliant. When they work together, magic happens. Big Trouble in Little China. Now, let me think. We got two more for you, huh? Hold on a minute. Let me think about this shit. This is real shit. This is important. If I give you the wrong shit, I'm going to feel like an asshole. Okay, so my dumb ass uploaded the podcast not knowing that the fucking audio clip that had the last two movies I wanted you to watch are... It was deleted. It was gone. I don't know. I must have scrapped it. Anyways, I'm going to record this now and throw it back into the podcast. Hopefully it updates and you just don't notice. But since I already told you, now you notice. So, fuck. God damn it. Last two movies I want you to watch. The Gate. Classic. Okay, you probably have never seen it. These kids, they're home alone. The parents are fucking gone. They're doing their thing. The kids are fucking by themselves. They basically summon a portal to hell in their house. They're battling demons and fucking all kinds of shit. And these are young kids, right? The parents are calling, "Hey, honey, how is everything?" "Yeah, like, it's good, mom. Hey, I got food in the oven. Can I call you back?" Hangs up. Fucking zombies in the living room. Watch that shit, okay? Next one, Spaceballs. If you're a Star Wars fan, you'll fucking love this shit. It's basically just a straight-up spoof of Star Wars, Star Trek, all that shit. So fucking good. And even though it's a comedy movie, even though it's supposed to be humorous and make fun of Star Wars, I think that the storyline and some of the quirky plot mechanics that they have is actually fucking really good. It actually works. Watch that shit. Trust me, you'll love it. All right, I'm out. Anyways, listen, dude, this has been my maddening mind. You know what I'm saying? Now, get the fuck out of my face and go do what you're told. Stay in quarantine, lockdown, whatever. Actually, you know what? Fuck that shit. Break every single rule in the book. Disobey all laws. Go do whatever the fuck you want. No, don't do that. Don't do that. I mean, do it, but don't say that it's because I told you to do it. Yeah. Listen, man, just do whatever the fuck you want, all right? Do whatever the fuck you want. I'll see you in the next one. Peace.